Since it is the summer holidays, I'm going to give the children a break, but I'm going to put the adults on the spot. And so I'm actually going to start off with a quiz. And this is especially geared towards the adults. There are four questions and a bonus question. And so we'll see how well you can do. And then I'm going to relate those into my message this morning. And so the first one here is, what is a parable? And you'll notice there are five possible answers. A U-shaped curve, which can be represented by a mathematical function of degree 2. And you can go down through them all. Now, in your mind, you think of what you think the answer is. No speaking out. And you can keep your own score, and I expect you to be honest. Okay, so there's that one. Hopefully, you've made your mind up. And if you picked C, then you are right. A parable is a story that compares some familiar earthly thing with a spiritual truth. And then, in case you didn't know, I have all the names of the others. Okay, here's question number 2. Okay, in which of the Gospels do you find Jesus' classic parables? Now, I made a mistake there, so I've got to add a word, or else the answer will not make sense. It should say, in which of the Gospels do you not find Jesus' classic parables? So the word not has to be in there. So get your answer. Time's up. I blew it. Anyway, I'm tired after yesterday, so you got to give me a break, right? So anyway, all except John is where they're actually found. Okay, here's number 3. Which parable is only found in Matthew? So take a look there. Which one is only found in Matthew? Okay, time's up. If you pick the first one, you are correct. The unforgiving servant. And now here's the last quiz question. And I also have a bonus question. Here's the last one. Which parable is found in the three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, out of all those parables? And if you pick the sower, then you're absolutely right. Now, here's the bonus question. So anybody get 4 out of 4? Put your hand up if you got. Oh, my. Ay, ay, ay. Okay, well, I'll help you out with a bonus question. Okay, here's the bonus question. Although it's not unique, what does the parable of the sower and the parable of the tares or weeds have in common with the parable of the good shepherd? You remember those bonus questions? Oh, it's only the good kids that got them. Okay, you ready? Okay, here's what it is. Oh, I guess I have to answer that one myself. The thing that they have in common is that the Lord not only told the parable, he explained the parable. Okay, so if that was your answer, you're correct. Anything else is wrong. So he both told and explained the parable. So anybody get 4 out of 4 now, including the bonus question? Very good. And look at, he's sitting at the front. Okay? Just what you would expect. Anyway, in all seriousness, this morning what I want to do is I would like to speak on the parable of the sower. It's found in all three Gospels, and it's one of the parables that the Lord not only told, but he also explained. And for many of us, we're very, very familiar with the parable of the sower, but I believe that there's lessons that we can learn from it, and so I would like to speak on that this morning. So what I decided to do is, since it's in three different books, three different gospels, that I would pick the middle one. And so what we're going to do is read the parable of the sower. And I'll be reading from Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, and we'll be reading the first 20 verses. And again, he began to teach them by the sea. That is, Jesus began to teach them by the sea. And a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat And he sat it on the sea and sat in it on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some of seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But the other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing that they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones that are sown in stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the world's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones on good ground, who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now the Lord bless the words of the Lord Jesus this morning. So the parable of the sower. And what I would like to do is I would like to think about three things associated with it. It wasn't hard to come up with all S's. I have difficulty doing that kind of thing when I'm speaking, is coming up with a bunch of words that all start with the same letters. But this was easy, because there's the sower, and there's the seed, and there's the soil. Now, it's interesting, just before we talk about the sower, to sort of set things in context. So the Lord is gathered with a large multitude. And he's by the seashore, and he goes out and sits in a boat, and he didn't have a PA system either, but he goes and sits in a boat, and the congregation or the students, those listening to him, are standing on shore, and he says, "Behold the sower." I thought that was kind of interesting. You know, I've been speaking in a church situation since I was 16. So I've done it a lot of times. And I taught school for 33 years. So I've taught in front of people for a long time. I've been the teacher. But I can tell you this, there has never been one occasion where I sat down and taught and all of the students stood and listened. Now, I know you're all afraid that I just might try that this morning because I'm a little bit tired, but I'm not going to. But that's interesting, isn't it? That at that time, they did the opposite to what we're doing today. And there was a purpose for that. Because when the Lord actually sat down, that showed a sign of authority in those days. And so when he sat down and talked about the scriptures and told these parables, it showed both reverence for the scriptures and his authority as a teacher. And so just imagine the scene. He's sitting in a boat, and all these people are gathered around, and Jesus says, "Behold, the sower went forth to sow." Now, we've often speculated that perhaps as he was sitting there in the boat, there could have been an actual sower off to the side somewhere sowing seed, but we don't know that. But you can imagine that. There's nothing wrong with using your imagination a little bit. And so you can see this person off sowing. And so the Lord, often when he taught people, what he would always do is he would start with something they understood, something that they knew. And then he would teach them a new spiritual truth to help them understand more. And so the first thing we want to talk about then is the sower. Now, what comes to your mind when you think of a sower? Well, I think it would depend on your age. Because when I think of a sower, this is what comes to my mind. When I was a boy on the farm, this is what we called a seed drill. And so the seed drill would have two compartments to it. In the first compartment, you would put the oats and barley. And then if it was that you wanted the field to grow grass the next year, then in that second compartment, it could be that you put the grass seed. Now, I could be a little off because it's been a long time. And then you notice the platform at the back. And so some poor guy had to stand back there and keep track of whether the seed was getting too low. And you notice he's got a bag of seed there. And if it got too low, he'd pour it in. So for me, when I hear, "Behold, the sower went forth to sow," then this is a vision that comes to my mind because of my age and my upbringing. But in the days of the Lord, I don't think it was that. In fact, I know it wasn't that. But instead, when it said, "Behold, the sower went forth to sow," it was something more like this. And I've seen this happen in my lifetime as well. And I can still remember my dad out sowing seed with what they called a cyclone seeder. And so he would have a bag like that on, and it was grass seed or clover that he'd be sowing. And as he was sowing, he would turn a handle. And as he turned the handle, there was a little blade thing underneath that spun around. And so the seeds would hit the little blade, and they'd fly out in every direction from him. And I can still see him walking and turning that handle. Well, perhaps back in the Lord's day, they didn't even have the handle. They just had a bag of seed. And so the person who was doing the sowing would put his hand in the bag, and he would throw out the seed. Now, what can you and I learn from the sower? Who is the sower? Well, I believe that primarily in the beginning, the sower was the Lord himself. He was the one who was sowing the seed. But now that he's gone back to heaven, who's the sower? Well, in the Apostle Paul's time, he considered himself to be the sower, one of the sowers. You remember he said, "Paul planted and Apollos watered." And so he was sowing the seed. But the Apostle Paul's gone. Here we are in 2024, many years later. Who's the sower? I believe that it's you and I as God's people. That's our responsibility. Our responsibility is to sow the seed, which is the Word of God. Now, it's interesting that we're not told in the Scriptures how to sow. But we are told that we should be sowing the seed, God's word, in our daily lives. We're not told how to sow. There's many different ways of sowing seed. And again, for some reason, my mind was going back this week all the time to the past. But I remember with my own father how he often sowed the seed as he would go from door to door and knock on the door. And when the people would open the door, he'd give them a tract, a little gospel paper, and he would tell them about what the Lord had done for him. And then I have an older sister. She did a lot of traveling, and what she would do, sorry. I shouldn't have gone here. She did a lot of traveling, and she saw to it that whoever her tour guides were, when she would be leaving them, she'd not only give them a tip, but she'd give them a copy of John's Gospel. That's how she sowed the seed. My mother-in-law, when she went to a restaurant, you know what she would do? She'd always give a good tip inside of a little gospel paper, and she'd leave it laying on the table. There's many different ways of sowing the seed. We can sow it in conversation as we talk to our neighbors. That's another thing we could think about. Where's the field? What's your field? Where are you sowing seed? Well, if you see how the gospel went out in the early church, it started at home. That's your field. Does your family know about the Lord? Have you sowed the seed of God's word into their lives? You who have parents of these beautiful young children, then on a daily basis, do you take the time to sow God's seed, God's word, into their lives? That's more important than education. That's more important than sports. That's more important than anything else, is that they know God's word and that they come to trust the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Our neighborhoods, Sault Ste. Marie, we should be sowing the seed of God's word. That's our responsibility. It's not our responsibility to make the seed take root. You see, that's the work of the Spirit of God that does that. But we just sow the seed and then leave it up with the Lord. And so the sower went forth to sow. And then I want to talk a little bit about the seed. And of course, we've already talked about how that the seed is God's word. And I would just like to mention this, that when we're sowing, we want to make sure that what we're sowing is really God's word. We have no right, I don't care who it is, it could be the Pope himself, but I don't care who it is, we have no right to change God's word. We have no right to add to God's word. We have no right to take away from God's word. There are no hybrids, lots of hybrids in the world, where there's a little bit of God's word and then man's word added to it. We are not supposed to do that. We should just sow the pure seed of the word of God. That's what we're supposed to be sowing. And that's what the Lord himself said that the seed was. Now we'll move on to the soil. Whoops, I went the wrong way. Okay, so first of all, we have the wayside, which is the hardened ground. Now, a wayside, you guys know what a wayside is? Okay, Ernie, you tell us, what's a wayside?
Like a trail maybe in the bush where like people have been biking or walking and the ground's kind of compacted.
Excellent. See, now that's a younger generation, right? That's how he thinks of as a wayside. I think of it as a cow path, right? When the cows would go to drink, they always walk on the same path. And so down the middle of a nice green lush field, you'd have this path, just like the one you would take a bike on. And there would be nothing growing there. I think back in the days of the Lord that often the wayside was at the side of the field. And that's where people were allowed to walk. So it was almost like a sidewalk. But as the sower was sowing the seed and he was throwing it out, then what would happen is that some of that seed would fall onto that hardened ground. But because it was hardened, it never took root. And then the birds that love seeds, they would come flying in, like the chickadees, would come flying in and they would take that seed and it would be gone. And then the Lord explains what that seed is and that how it is the enemy. The birds represent Satan, represent the enemy who comes and steals away the word of God that has been planted in those hardened hearts. Because I believe that the soil speaks to us of man's heart. That's one application of it. And I want to talk, I'm going to do my application a little bit later, but this here is the hardened soil. And then the next type of soil was, was the rocky ground. And so what happens in the rocky ground is that the soil falls and it'll go in, or the seed falls and it'll go into the soil and very quickly because the soil's nice and warm. And the plant will come up very quickly. But then out comes the sun, that hot summer sun. And before you know it, that little plant has died because it got scorched by the sun. It doesn't have a good root. And so the Lord talks about that type of soil. And then he also talks about the thorny soil or the thorny ground, which is like weedy ground. And everyone that's planted a garden will understand this. If you plant a garden and you don't take out the weeds will take over. And what happens is that that little plant that should be producing fruit will not produce anything because the weeds grow up and they grow faster than the plant and they choke the life out of it. And so that was the next type of soil. And then the last type of soil is the good ground. And this was the one where the seed would fall into the ground and it would go down into the soil and there'd be lots of nutrients there, no rocks. And all of a sudden, up would come a plant. And God would send the rain and the sunshine. And that plant would grow and it would produce fruit. And so that's the good soil. Now, what I want to do, because my time's nearly done, and Marion has a zonk game she's going to do at the end. Then what I want to do, though, is an application. I think it's important to apply God's word to ourselves. Now, this application I didn't read anywhere. We'll call it the Nicholson application, right? So I hope it doesn't fall flat, but I hope that I can make sense with it and that it'll speak to you and make you think today about yourself. And so I have four chairs. Now, I got this idea actually from a conference that Andrew Sarlo and I went to, but he only had three chairs. And so I have four chairs here, and I'm going to bring them out. So we'll put this one here. We'll go, yeah, if you don't mind helping me, that would really speed things up a bit. Okay. Okay, so there's that one. This one over here. And thank you, Andrew. Andrew's been helping me for a long time. Okay, now, here's the application. Here we are this morning. And we have these four chairs. And my question is this morning, like, which chair am I on? Because I believe that everyone in here this morning, in fact, I'm going to skip one slide for time and go to another one. But you notice everyone's included. Now I show some older people there, younger people, children. Doesn't matter who you are. Everyone gathered here this morning, you're sitting on one of those four chairs. Now the decision that you have to make is, which chair is it that you're sitting on? Now the nice thing is that if you're sitting on a chair that isn't all that good, it's possible to move to a different chair. And so there might be some, and perhaps this is where I'm sitting. I'm sitting on that hardened chair. Now I do get to sit. So I'm sitting on the hardened chair. So that means that when I listen to God's word, I've already made up my mind before I ever hear it. And so I don't really care what the Bible says. I'm going to do what I'm going to do because I know what I want to do. So I can sit and listen to God's word. I can be given godly instruction, and yet I'm in this chair and I am not going to move because I'm going to do it my way. There are people that are sitting on that chair. In fact, I've found myself at times in this chair, sitting right here. I don't care what you say. I'm going to do what I want to do. The Bible can say whatever it wants. I'm going to do my own thing. Bad chair to be on. It's like that path that the bikes have gone down. But you know what the interesting thing is? And again, when I picked the cow path, is because I can remember the cow path going down the center of the field. And then I can remember my dad going out and working that field up and getting it ready for a crop. And he would plow it up and he would work the soil up. And then he would plant the seed. And guess what? It would grow where the cow path was. Now, I believe it's the work of the Holy Spirit to do that. The Holy Spirit, in a sense, is the farmer. He's the one that works up the soil. But then you and I, our responsibility is to plant the seed. And then what God does is he gives the increase. He makes it take. And so I could be, but hopefully, if you're on this chair this morning, you'll get off it. It's not a good place to be. Now, here's the next one, the rocky soil. Maybe that's where I'm sitting this morning. I'm on this one. And so, you know, I've seen situations like this too, where somebody has heard God's word, and man, they just seem to grab it like that. But then after a bit of time, you notice that they're not as interested anymore. Maybe there's a little bit of persecution has come, a little bit of trouble. And all of a sudden, it's as if we're sort of slipping away from it because we don't have root. Now, again, you don't have to stay on this chair. You see, the rocks can be removed. I used to have to do that as a boy as well. Go out with my dad in the field. Luckily, I got to drive the tractor and he picked the rocks because I was so little. But he would do that. He would get the rocks out of the field in order to make things grow better. Now, maybe a better illustration, though, is the rocks that we have around here, the bedrock. A little harder to move it, but that's where you'll have that very little soil. And so the seed will maybe start up quickly, but then it will burn out before it produces fruit. A bit like blueberries on some of the soil around here. You get to the bushes and there's nothing there. They're all brown. But you don't have to stay on that chair. Now, maybe you're on this chair here with all the weeds. And so you've got all these things that, and I believe that this is one place I can often find myself, sitting on this chair, the one with all the cares of this world, all the things that I have to consider, all the things that I have to do. I'm busy doing this, I'm busy doing that. And so I'm so busy doing other things. And it could be anything. It could be things that could be quite legitimate. It could be my career. It could be sports, right? You could get so busy, even as parents, like running your children to games here and there and everywhere. And pretty soon, like, you don't have time to bring them to Sunday school. Too busy. That's not good. We should put God first. We need to take God first. And so we don't want to sit on this chair and have all the things of life crowd in and steal away God's word. Well, thankfully, we don't have to stay in this chair. The chair that you want to be on and I want to be on is this one over here. See, this is the best chair because this is the one where we accept God's word, we listen to it, and it produces fruit for God in our life. Now, isn't this where you want to be? It's hard sometimes, though. Because sometimes I'm on that chair, and I know it. Or I can be on any of the others. And yet, this is where I want to be. So now, I'm not going to ask you to come up this morning and line up in front of the chairs. But which chair would you be on? Where are you this morning? Well, if you're on any chair except the last one, then you need to pray that the Lord will give you the strength and the help to change things and to change you so that you move from either one or any of these first three chairs and you end up on the last chair. That's where I want to be, but I'm not always there. I want to be honest with you. I've found myself in all of them sitting there. Now, that's not the primary application, I don't believe, of the parable, but that's what the Lord brought to my mind. Maybe it's because that's what I needed this week, was to think about it. Where am I? Now, for each one of us, we have to make that decision. I can't judge for you. You can't judge for me. But we have to make that decision before the Lord. And we want to be in that good one. When I was a boy, whenever I heard this parable being spoken on, it was usually an application to the gospel. And it is an excellent application. And if we're going to bring forth fruit for God, we have to have new life in us. We have to have accepted God's word. We have to have accepted God's way of salvation. We have to have accepted the Lord Jesus as our Savior. And if there's anyone here this morning and you haven't done that, then for you to even start thinking about these at all, the first thing that you need to do is to accept Christ as Savior, know your sins forgiven, and then you start the Christian life. And it's not all that easy, but it's the best. And God will bless each one of you this morning.